Speaking of Christ and Antichrist, what should we first pay our attention to? What is the main point here? What should an Orthodox Christian know in order for a great disaster not to happen? What kind of a disaster? It's to take Antichrist for Christ, and in such a way to take Christ for a pseudo-messiah. How is it possible? It seems impossible for a believer to reject Christ and to take some liar who will attempt to pass himself for Christ. It seems impossible, but it only seems so. The reality of our psychology is such that not even such things happened. And there are grounds for me to claim that these things can happen even repeatedly, and as it turns out, they will take place in the end of history. The first thing I'd like to pay attention to is when we speak of Christ and Antichrist, we speak of the Christians, first of all, because the non-Christian world is always looking and waiting for Antichrist. I'll tell you why in a minute. But now, I'd like to attract your attention to the fact that the most terrible thing is that the overwhelming majority, almost all the Christians, will accept this liar for a true savior of the mankind. That's what will happen. By the way, the words of Jesus Christ are amazing. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's clear that he doesn't mean that people won't believe in anything, because the more history goes on, the more people believe in different things. No, he speaks of the true faith, of the faith that leads a person to God, and not vice versa. So in this regard, there is a number of problems which are connected with the possibility of this situation. So let's discuss it. Who is Christ? What did he give to people? What does he call us to? What does he promise? If we look at Christ from our regular human standpoint, he is quite a strange phenomenon, because Christianity claims that he is a God and a human being, and as God he is omnipotent. Of course. And for some reason, this omnipotent God comes to earth in a strange way. Well, let's just think. Each of us, if now we received the fullness of opportunities, who would we like to become in order to save the world from all the evil? Is there much evil in the world? Of course, there's much evil in Russia and all over the world. So who should we become to save the world from all evil? I would become the world emperor. I think it's the best option. With the fullness of power, I would punish all the criminals and all the frauds and so on. What other options are there in order to save the humanity? I think I would need the fullness of power over the mankind. And for the fullness of power, I should also be rich, and I should also have the fullness of authority. Of course, how would I succeed if no one would listen to me and no one would respect me? And the fullness of acceptance is necessary. So, For this, the greatness is necessary, so there is no other options rather than to become the world emperor. Maybe you have any other options, it would be very interesting to listen to them. Because if any other person had come, a prophet, a teacher, anyone, some people would have liked him, other wouldn't have liked him, someone would have killed him. So I would need to stop the social injustice, because there are billionaires who don't know what to do with their money, and according to the statistics, almost half of the mankind don't have enough food. So dozens of millions of children are starving. Is it fair? Is it good? And the exploitation that exists in many countries of the world, including Russia, when the labor is underpaid or even unpaid at all? What is it? And what kind of medical service exists in many countries? So there are terrible problems in the world. I mean, economic, educational, the problem of the homeless people, so lack of food, there are many problems. And the problem of war and peace. For example, now the United States can start the war, and that's it. And many weak nations have been enslaved in the course of the history. Let's just think about it. So who can I become in order to save the world? Only a person who has the fullness of power in the world, the person who will set the justice in the world, who will create the best laws, who won't allow some people to become richer and richer and others to starve, who will provide education and upbringing for all, and to have the perfect medical service, who will ban exploitation, violence, and so on. Isn't it clear? So it's absolutely clear. So what are we discussing? It is as obvious as it gets. And I'm sorry, but who isn't waiting for such a great emperor? Who wouldn't like to have the firm power, at least in Russia? So many people are looking for this. All the mankind is looking for it, and even some Orthodox people are looking for this. And now I hope that most of you agree. It's impossible not to agree with it, and now you understand. Do you understand now? Who is Christ? Is he the Savior? Is he? Who is he? He is a homeless person who had often nothing to eat, and his disciples had to eat wheat. So he was a poor man. What kind of a fair order did he set? In what country? In no country. Did he abolish slavery of the time? He didn't say a single word about it. Did he create the laws for people to live calmly and safely? He didn't speak a word about the laws. So what did he do? So he did nothing. He fed 5,000. I'm sorry, but the population of Earth enumerates and contains milliards of people. You will soon hear this. Maybe not you, but the youth will soon hear this. So Don't lie to yourself. He is not the Savior. The Savior should save the sick, the poor, the weak. That's who the Savior is. The person who will give them life. That's what we face. Christ didn't do anything on earth. Furthermore, what did he say? What is the bottom line of his preaching? It is terrible. It is frightening. He said, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek." And then he said something strange, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," meaning earthly things, "shall be added to you." So did Christ save the world? Did the level of exploitation or deception or sin decrease? Did the number of wars decrease? Did the level of violence decrease? Nothing of it happened. That's your Christ. Do you understand where we are going? The vector of the modern life. The modern life. And when I say the modern life, I don't mean the world. The world has always been looking for bread and spectacles. I mean the vector of the Christian life only. What is this vector aimed at? If you get acquainted with the publications of the World Council of Churches, you will notice what is the main topic and the central topic of all the activity of all the Christian churches. And what is it? These are the problems of war and peace, the problem of the social life, the problem of famine, poverty, and so on and so forth. There is just one problem that you won't find in there. It's the problem of salvation. To be more exact, you will find the word salvation. Moreover, one of the world conferences of the World Council of Churches was called Salvation Today. And what was meant by salvation? There were some representatives from our church. They arrived and told us about it. Any problems were considered, but when a small group of the Orthodox Christians reminded them that salvation, what is it? It is connected with God. What should we strive to? These poor Orthodox Christians were looked at as if they were some ancient dinosaurs who crawled out of I don't know where, and they are saying something strange. So the function of all the churches, we should know it, of all the Christian churches, but I should tell you that, first of all, these are the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. But don't forget that the Orthodox as well, we are following them. We haven't caught up with them yet. We have something else, but we are actively following them and we are actively moving in their direction, because we are submerging into the activity connected with the resolution of the earthly problems. And it's not just that some members of the church are doing it, which would be natural because we all must help each other, but the churches themselves are doing it, and this is the main thing of their practice. So, how is Christ different from Antichrist? It is very interesting. All that I told you just now, all this concern about the resolution of earthly problems, all of it is what Christ said, that that's what the Gentiles seek. That's what's interesting. Moreover, he said, do not worry what shall we eat or what shall we drink. I'm sorry, I have to translate this, because the Russian text of Gospel is sometimes imperfect. And this is the case. You can think, do not worry means don't do anything, don't work. No, the Greek word in there has a different meaning. Do not worry means do not sell your soul for this. Do not torture your soul, and it doesn't mean don't work, and everything will fall to you from heaven. No, don't sell your soul for this. Christ tells us to seek, first of all, for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what's unacceptable for the sinful person, for a person who is fully submerged in these earthly problems. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is it? For many, seeking of the kingdom of heaven is seeking of the truth, of sense of life. Because we must understand that every reasonable person, if they are not completely crazy, they understand that this life is just a candle which can burn faster or slower, or just a match that burns out in a minute, and all these problems and concerns, all of it will fall apart. When a person falls asleep, what do they remember? When a person comes down sick, what do they care about all of it? We will leave all of it here. And at the same time, Christianity is very different from some forms of paganism and extreme spiritualism, which claim that body is nothing. No, no. Christianity is an amazing religion which says that body is also a very important, consistent part of a person, because a person is both a soul and a body. But the soul is primary because it has the eternal origin, and the state of a person depends on the state of their soul, and not just this moment of existence, but the eternity depends on it. So the main contradiction between Christ and Antichrist is the contradiction of temporality and eternity. Christ's concern is the eternal life of a person. Antichrist concentrates fully on earthly, so-called earthly prosperity. That's the basic difference. That's why all the teaching of Jesus Christ is aimed at forming the right properties of a person's soul. Christ indicates the norms of a human soul, and these are the commandments. These are the norms which only can make a person happy. The unclear conscience doesn't allow a person to be happy. A stoned heart which experiences no love or compassion can never be happy. This is obvious, and Christianity gives an opportunity to bring up a person's soul in the likeness of God. Christianity says that the soul which lost the feeling of love and compassion cannot have any joy in life. Moreover, And the most terrible thing is that the transfer to the next life will come, and what will a person go there with? This is a very complicated issue, which we are trying not to think about. We are avoiding it as an ostrich who is trying to hide its head in the sand in the face of danger. So the same happens to a person who is trying to concentrate fully on this moment, which they don't know how long it will last. If a person has both soul and body, and the soul has the primary origin in a person, and it defines a person, and a person who purifies their soul from sins and passions will have the good both on earth and in heaven, because this good will be an everlasting source in their soul. If it is soul, then please tell me, what should we first pay our attention to in our life? So, over and over again, Christ reminds us of the fact that the soul is more valuable than anything else. Won't a person give away everything for their soul? And the fact of Christ's resurrection tells us of what a person should strive to. And on the contrary, Antichrist attracts a person just to the so-called earthly values, only to them, and that's it. And this will happen. And it is already happening. You see, we are coming close. What was the mistake of many ancient Christians? What was the mistake in Russia when they thought that these events are already coming? They were just considering this small territory of Russia. And the mistake of other nations was that they were just considering their regions, but on the contrary, these events which the New Testament tells us that await for us, they will be of the world character. Antichrist will rule the whole world and not just one country. There will be just one state in the world, no borders, no wars, so huge money will be freed, because armies and weapons are just the major expenditures, and then there will be very strict laws and death penalties for any minor crime, and the computers will control every single person. So scientists predict that in the 20th century, the absolute control over everyone will be set. There will be all the information about each of us. Nobody will ever run away. Isn't it interesting? So you see what we are coming to. There will be one state, full control, the opportunity to divide benefits in any way we wish. There will be the pseudo-savior of the world who will give prosperity to people. I said to people, well, 3, 4, or 5 milliards will disappear from earth in the result of wars, and just one golden milliard will remain. Have you ever heard of it? And they will be as rich as anybody ever got in the course of the history. This person of an animal, Antichrist, will be proud enough to call himself God and Savior, and all this mass media will flatter him. All the television and the press and all the churches will recognize him. Of course, everything will be that is necessary. And then let's compare, facing this situation, what did Christ do for the world? What did Antichrist do? Who is the true savior of the world? That's what we are coming to. And meanwhile, the important question is the question about how we can accept Antichrist without even noticing it. What do Holy Fathers say of it? These are very interesting things. It depends on a person's attitude to Christ's commandments. How can one accept Antichrist without noticing it? It will happen to those Christians who will lead more and more pagan lifestyle, who will take the pagan values for the Christian values. This happens when a person pays their full attention to how to arrange their earthly life, and this is the only concern of theirs, and they don't think about how a person should grow in the likeness of God. A person doesn't think of it, and they can accept Antichrist without noticing it, because a person gradually acquires their own values, and they won't notice that many of the Christian values that they believe to be Christian will turn out to be the pagan values in reality. That's what is meant by unnoticed. When the whole life of a person is only aimed at seeking these earthly creature comforts, which I will give away tomorrow, even with my body, it's amazing. And seeking for the world emperor is the real phenomenon. The spiritual life should be aimed at keeping the commandments of gospel. This keeping of commandments together with the right prayer will gradually open in a person the eternal life inside of their soul, the eternal space inside of their soul. There is the kingdom of heaven, which cannot be taken away by anything, including death itself. That's what Christ calls us to. He says, person, you're mortal, and you don't know when this life will be taken away from you. So seek for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Antichrist says the opposite, person. Here you have the earthly benefits, the resolution of all the earthly problems. That's where you will fulfill your mission of helping other people. You're a tsar, you're a god.